When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Paul Pierce is the mother truth.
Knocks it down! Celtics win!
Wow.
50 points for Jason Tatum!
Brad, any final words of advice for the new coach?
Win!
If it's possible. Anything's possible!
Welcome to Celtic Strong, a podcast that journeys backwards through Boston Celtics history and lore.
Join two proud fans who are definitely not experts as we look back era by era.
This is episode 4 of the podcast, and we are about to dig on in to the very exciting 2017-2018 Boston Celtics from utter shock to 7 games against LeBron. Wow, Steve. Can you even believe it? It's time to do it.
I am so ready for this. I've been really looking forward to this season because it was so exciting. Oh, man. Woo! From the off-season for the ages all the way up and through till the very last game of the Eastern Conference Finals. These Boston Celtics had you on the edge of your seat.
Yes, indeed. Talk about Boston Celtics. Man, this is a team for the ages, and it is a year where the Celtics team really, really showed up and was Celtics strong, because no matter what happened this year, this team just kept going. Man, so let's get right into it, Steve. Without further ado, as you said, the off season for the ages.
Yes.
Yeah. We are not experts, Steve.
We're definitely not experts, Eli.
We are not experts here, but I believe this was the biggest off season ever. Now, I'm not trying to rate these deals, Steve. I'm just saying I believe the Celtics turned over all but 4 players on their roster, I'm pretty sure.
And major overhaul. Crazy. Major overhaul. And this was finally the year that, you know, Danny seemed to have cashed in on the draft picks he did while making some pretty shrewd moves for more draft picks at the same time. I think we should start with the draft, which I think was just, if we're talking about Celtics strong on this podcast, and Danny Ainge in general, I think it was a major Celtics strong Danny Ainge moment here with this 2017 draft when he traded the number 1 overall pick for the number 3 overall pick to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
What did you think when you first heard that or were watching that in real time?
I remember that the thinking was at the time, and now of course we know, the guy that we want is going to be there at 3.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get the exact right guy and more draft picks. And I just remember being like, okay, sounds good to me. And I wasn't super hot on the top 2 picks, which of course that year ended up being Markelle Fultz and Lonzo Ball, both point guards. I wasn't super high on either. Or them as what we needed. So yeah, I was definitely down and excited. So they go ahead and they select with the 3rd pick, Jason Tatum.
Yes, and begin the 2J's era.
And yeah, change the actual direction of the franchise. How much they knew it at the time, who knows, but.
Yeah. What's remarkable about these sort of draft comparisons, it's like you kind of need a few years for most of them to shake out to say, oh, yeah, that pick was better than that pick. But into the season, you know, because of the way, especially the early season unfolded and how much was asked of Jason Tatum and how much he stepped up, it was pretty clear just in this next year who the best player of that draft was. You don't have to wait very long to figure that out.
No, and I don't believe anyone anyone in the Celtics organization or fandom would ever do that draft again. That is for sure. We got our guy. And so, yeah, so the draft, we get our guy, we get another pick. And then in July, straight from Gordon Hayward himself, he announces that that he's going to join the Celtics in free agency.
Oh, yeah. Big signing, big win. He had the relationship with Brad Stevens, I remember at the time, reading that Brad picked him up at the airport and had never driven around Boston necessarily at that point. And it was like this epic poem for him to, you know, if anyone's, I'm assume people have driven around Boston or listened to this podcast. It's not the easiest thing to do sometimes.
Not the easiest to navigate all the different parts of Boston always.
But yeah, I loved that story. And so you went from this really exciting top three player with the shrewd move of getting an extra pick to the kind of marquee signing of the offseason almost a month later. You're pretty excited. You're thinking, wow, like, could it get any better than this?
Yeah. Yeah. And this is, you know, this is why they got Brad Stevens, right? Former college coach of Gordon Hayward. Yeah. Wow. We are riding high at this point, you know, and the summer is just begun.
Yeah. And you're just like, you're like, we're doing really great. Man, can't get any better than this. And then what happened?
And then the Kyrie Irving, Isaiah Thomas trade happens.
Woo!
August. And the, wow.
Yeah. The yeah, just a month later, the offseason got even crazier. And this was a fairly, I don't want to say polarizing move, but, you know, Isaiah Thomas had really endeared himself to a lot of Boston Celtics fans, and there were people that weren't happy to see him go along with the other players, and they're looking at this return and they're thinking, what?
Yeah.
And that was when you, you know, a little bit of Danny Ainge's, I've got to do my job and make the smart, you know, the best GM move I can right now. And it's not about people's feelings. It's about building the best roster.
Mm-hmm.
That was, that really shined through there, where it was just like, okay, here we go. And just like you said, immediately, those three things, all of a sudden, this roster was completely, nearly completely turned over.
Yep. Almost completely turned over. And, you know, the Kyrie Irving trade in that moment, it's a trade you have to make. It's a no-brainer. And it's also, if you can't beat them, join them, or have them join you, actually, because, you know, we had fallen short against the Cavs. They were, you know, the foe, the nemesis at the time, and literally, you know, Isaiah had lost to Kyrie. So it's kind of crazy. Right. They get traded. Crowder, of course, the popular Jake Crowder, goes in that trade, too. And here we go. Strap them on. It's a whole new season. Lace them up. We've got a whole new roster. So,
yeah, those were the big moves. Eli, talk to me about some of the smaller moves that they made with the roster going into the season that you thought were particularly cool or you're excited about.
Yeah, well, they had to get kind of creative with all these, you know, big moves, bringing on a max contract in Hayward and a max guy in Irving. So they actually ended up doing something that was pretty smart at the time for fit, which is they traded Avery Bradley, a longtime favorite, great Celtic strong player, but someone who
fan
favorite, a very just great hard-nosed, you know, really undersized combo guard who stayed a productive player for many years, and really always Celtics strong, tough player. However, in these moves and in moving away from an undersized backcourt that had not been able to get him over the hump, they moved away from Avery and traded him to Detroit for Marcus Morris. And what they did was they freed up a little more financial flexibility, and they also got a player who's a similar high, you know, defensive efficiency, high IQ, really good team player, but a better fit position-wise.
Yeah, if you think about the team at the time, that was a good trade for what they needed, right?
Yeah, they're trying to really put the pieces together around this core. So they pick up these three players, and like we said, they kept four players from the previous year. So they keep Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, Horford, and Jaylen Brown. Great core. And so they put a lot of new guys around them and a bunch of rookies. In addition to Tatum, they get Daniel Theis from Germany and a number of other guys, none of whom really end up contributing a lot this season or long term. But definitely some fun young players and names to fill out this roster. And here we go. It's time for what looks like an incredibly, incredibly promising season.
Oh, yeah. An amazing, amazing regular season. And it was awesome because it started off and Gordon Hayward just played lights out every game of the season, was MVP all the way through to the playoffs, right?
He got injured
in the first 6 minutes.
Oh, wow. I was watching that game, Steve, and I was very excited. And he's coming up the right wing, and Kyrie throws an alley-oop. Hayward goes up and gets bumped by none other than Jay Crowder. Nothing malicious, of course. Yeah. And just nothing unusual except for when he landed.
Yeah, that's got to go down as one of the weirdest, toughest breaks of any Boston sports.
Pun intended.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's just like it was so deflating and so intense. But something that also is kind of an interesting, is a part of what makes the 2017-2018 season so interesting, because it really, that injury in a way galvanized this whole team and created an opportunity for Jason Tatum that they probably weren't expecting was going to happen so quickly for him.
Right.
And he really stepped up and, you know, was just ready for that opportunity and was like, I'm going to make the most of this. And the whole team rallied around this.
They really did. And it led to that early season winning streak, 16 straight. Led to a lot of opportunities for the two Jays.
I thought this season, the first part of this season, was one of the more exciting seasons in recent memory. Like, I just remember being so locked in to this team this year and just being like, God, how are they going to overcome this? And it's like, oh, they're just going to go on a run and play incredible every night. It was phenomenal.
Phenomenal. And this is when we really got to see the Kyrie we had hoped we had signed, right? And traded for.
Yeah.
And a very, very cohesive looking team very quickly. You know, it's a counterpoint to other years where it's taken longer for the team to mesh, or, you know, we never saw quite the complete cohesion. Whereas this year, after this disastrous opening moments, they come together and just, absolutely go on a run. The first few months of the season, and you're wondering, you know, just what they could have been with Hayward, but also you're just wondering if wow, did they even need him? This team is so good, which is just crazy to think.
So many players stepped up. I thought Jaylen Brown really stepped up. I know at a certain point he lost his best friend tragically from childhood, passed away, and that very next night he had the best night of the season. He just really locked in and used every opportunity that was given to him in this season, you know, which was his second in the league.
Definitely. Yeah. And he had, you know, shown some flashes in his rookie season, but I think was more of an overall talent and athletic, you know, considered more of kind of like an athletic wing 3-and-D guy than Tatum in this draft. So his, you know, development and maturation this year, super important to, you know, starting to show his potential and starting to just see what a complementary piece he could be on such a talented team.
So, yeah, very exciting season. So you mentioned the winning streak that they had. There were also just a lot of exciting finishes to games, a lot of, you know, three-point shots at the buzzer to win from a number of guys. Jaylen Brown had one. Terry Rozier had one. You know, it was just everyone seemed to, Al Horford had a strong season. Everyone just really seemed to step up in the absence of what was supposed to be their marquee free agent signing going down at the beginning of the year.
They really did. And, yeah, it's a great, great example that we see sometimes in sports where someone gets hurt or, you know, a tragedy befalls someone on the team or involved in the team, and everyone just really steps up and rallies. And you saw that, you know, so early on with the Hayward injury and just that horrific moment that had to be, you know, as far as we could tell, had to be physically traumatic.
Oof, brutal.
To those players, both on the court and on the bench, and just everyone there, such a gruesome early injury. And then late in the season, Steve, we saw this happen again because after about 60 games, Kyrie Irving had missed a few games previously, and in March, I believe, of this season, misses a game with knee problems, and it ends up being the end of his season.
Yeah, another crazy footnote or storyline to this season that Kyrie goes down, and they still go on this massive postseason run. This team had a lot of heart. This team had something intangible that you can't quite even quantify. They just really gelled, and they had this energy and synergy working together that it was more, they were more than just one person, obviously.
They definitely were. And as, you know, Hayward and then Kyrie get hurt, the biggest, you know, marquee names on the team and that they had just acquired both get hurt, right? And yet they don't, as you were saying, they don't miss a beat. They don't miss a step. They finish strong and they go into the playoffs playing as a team and firing on all cylinders. And I think part of that is, as we said, you have a newer group, right? So you just have a lot of young guys and a lot of guys new to the team that are really hungry. You have a lot of guys that don't have a big ego or a lot of expectations on their shoulders. So you have just a young, fun, free core to this team. And that starts to really, really shine in the playoffs.
Yeah, and they stepped up in a vacuum. I mean, you think about, well, let's just talk about Scary Terry, because I think if there was, you know, there were a lot of people that stepped up. When you're talking about this part of the season and Kyrie going down.
Sure.
And be like, oh no, what's going to happen? And then Terry Rozier steps up and becomes the most popular sports figure in Boston.
There was a moment when Scary Terry mania was sweeping Boston. And he looked like not only an ample fill-in for Kyrie Irving, he looked like a fill-in for Kyrie Irving. Of course, no one is Kyrie Irving, and no one quite has those handles or natural skill that Kyrie does in certain ways. But man, was he doing an incredible job of not only filling in, but living up to that kind of production and expectation. And he, I mean, we won't even get into the moments. I mean, he had so many big moments and big shots, and really just showed that this team and these young players were not afraid of anything. They were not afraid of the moment. It did not matter that they were in Boston wearing Kelly Green in the playoffs and all that that means. This team really was Celtics strong to the core.
Yeah, and it was scary Terry mania. He lit it up. He was awesome. I mean, you talk about Celtics strong moments, just getting the call, going stepping out there. Up. Yeah, and just helping everyone and making everyone better, you know, and also performing, taking your game to another level and performing in the postseason. And
yeah,
he made, you know, they made a really exciting postseason run.
Yeah, and as, you know, Terry filled in for Kyrie, and put up some great points and assists, someone else had to step up and become the top scoring option for those playoffs. And of course, it was super rookie, Mr. Forever 19, Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
Who started his playoff career in his rookie year with 7 straight 20-point games, as I said in a previous episode. It's a great stat, an amazing stat, and those, you know, string of games broke Larry Bird's record, which I just think is so great to have Tatum break Bird's scoring record. So they really leaned on Tatum's scoring and Rozier's ability to seamlessly step into the starting point guard role. Jaylen Brown was great, and they were ready for the playoffs. No Kyrie, no Hayward, no matter. They came in rolling.
Yeah, we have talked a lot on this podcast about the development of the two Jays, and I think we've reached now a moment where you can really clearly define that this was a special period of time for them at such a young age to go on such a deep run in the playoffs.
Yeah, to have the opportunity to step into, somewhat be thrust into, such big roles on such a talented team. It's so rare that we see that and that we see it successful. And we're talking about, you know, a first and second year player at the start of the playoffs, right? I believe Tatum's 19. Jaylen Brown is 20 or 21.
It's unbelievable.
And yeah, to have this experience so young is incredible. And to have this type of a team around them, both skill and the veteran presence of guys like Horford and Marcus Smart, but additionally just the talent of this team, both offensively and defensively as a team. And they really played as an amazing team through these playoffs, which were an incredible, incredible run. You've got these young guys stepping up and they're winning, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that, the Marcus Morris trade paid dividends all year. And then also in the postseason as well.
Huge dividends. To have a player of that caliber and size, it was so key to have a wing like that, because everything you were thinking about in the playoffs was how to stop LeBron, how to stop what had become that dominant big wing position. And he was, you know, he was that guy, especially when Marcus Smart's already chasing around the team's best guards.
Yeah, you needed that guy in the wing position to give you that great defense.
Yeah, so it's an exciting start to the postseason. They come roaring in, have a really good back and forth first series, and then they play Philadelphia in the second round. And I just had to bring up one of my favorite moments from that postseason, Steve, which is, I believe it's game three when they're in Philadelphia. And at the very end of regulation, the Celtics, I believe, are up two. And Marco Bellinelli, the Italian sharpshooter who was on Philly that year, hits a shot. And the Philly arena goes wild. And they think he's hit a three-pointer to win. And they drop the confetti. But it's only a two. And it only ties the game. And, of course, this Celtics team was the type of team that if you did something like that, and they had been, I believe, up 2-0 in the series going in. And so they're in Philly for game three, and Philly prematurely drops the confetti. And, of course, they came back, and they punished them and beat them in overtime. And they had to. I remember they had to sweep up the confetti to get ready for overtime. It was just, oh, man, what a scene. And so they romp through Philadelphia, make really quick work of the Sixers in the end. And, man, it looks like this is the year we're going to take down LeBron again.
Yeah, right. And you know, it's dealing with all the adversity, no Hayward, no Kyrie. I remember really feeling good with everything, the way this team was playing without these guys. It just felt like they could do this.
Yeah. And of course, that series goes to seven games. We won't break it down game by game.
Sure.
It's a series that, man, has won for the ages. I've heard it been described as one of the most, if not the most, disappointing seven game and game seven losses, both. Such a heartbreaking loss. And, you really have to wonder what would have happened if they could have held on in game seven and gone on to the finals this year, and how they would have fared.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's an interesting season because there were so many heartbreaking things that happened, many tough breaks, and then it ended on such a heartbreaking moment. But when you think back on the season, it's a real success. I think back on it quite fondly, and I don't necessarily, you get a little kind of what if everyone was healthy, what if everyone got healthy for the playoffs would probably be the best scenario, but it was such an exciting ride that season. It's hard to think of it as a disappointment,
truly. And though there were really high hopes going into this season, as soon as the Hayward injury happened, and then later losing Kyrie, that late in the season.
It tempered expectations,
and it created almost a Cinderella story out of a team that had, you know, preseason expectations.
Right. So they weren't supposed to be the Cinderella story, and they became the Cinderella story. It was really cool.
It never happens. And it ultimately became that really first layer of groundwork that I think you were kind of referencing for the two Jays. Without this season and all of the things that happened from game one to game 90, however many playoff games they played, right? It was an incredible ride, a season that forever will be remembered as so close, and yet now, even just a few years removed, we're speaking so fondly of these great moments and truly, truly Celtic strong overcoming of adversity, and our first look at Jason Tatum and our first look at the two Jays on the court together and in the playoffs. How exciting to see these guys. I just remember saying just over and over about Tatum. He's 19. He's 19.
I know.
He's only 19. Awesome.
I mean, he was so great. This was his rookie year. And, oh, man, he was so exciting. And everything he did was all supposed to be just a bonus, right? Like, oh, we got the third pick in the draft. Great. Like, he'll come off the bench. Awesome. Yeah. Everything he'll do is just gravy. And then he became such an integral part of the team so quickly, and his defense and his rebounding. And then his three-point shot emerged. He kept growing before your eyes. And like you're saying, you're like, oh my God, he's 19. But the team as a whole, they never stopped fighting. And nope. They gave you everything they got. And it was a very inspired group of guys playing just some amazing basketball.
Yeah, and if you think about those four guys they kept on the roster going in,
right?
Not only those guys that core players on the court, but really just great, solid chemistry guys. And so it's really, really awesome to look back on this season and see how, in contrast to other seasons when, the team looked really good on paper, but had, potentially other issues befall them, this team turning over so many spots never missed a step as a team. They stuck together. You got the sense that people really valued Horford's leadership. He just seemed to be that really trusted voice. And he was, his play backed it up every single night. This was such a great, great fun season for the highs and the outcomes and the, getting so close against LeBron and what could have been a potential championship run. Also to see such a team that pulled together and overcame everything thrown at them. What an amazing team this was.
Yeah, it was. And it was, I can't say enough about it because it's just, they didn't let the adversity define them. They defined themselves and they kept handling everything thrown at them and just leaned on each other. And there was a real next man up philosophy and they just were very special.
This season and the hard injuries are what started the true development and leaps forward the two Jays have taken since. So we are thankful for this season and all the hard stuff we went through.
Yeah, and you can't ask for much more of a season. You want to give it your best. You want to try your best. And right from the jump, from the draft and the off season, Danny Ainge took a big swing, right? And it was like the organization was just like, we're going to take a chance. And you can't, that's all you can ask for, no one knew Hayward was going to get hurt. And no one knew Kyrie was going to get hurt towards the end of the year.
Sure.
They really pushed all their chips in the middle of the table there to try to win one. And they almost did. They almost got to the finals.
The Cinderella. That wasn't supposed to be a Cinderella and captured our hearts and our minds. This team really did capture Boston sports in those runs and the scary Terry, emergence and the two Jays playoff amazingness. And will forever live on as the two Jays continue to develop as where we first knew, oh, wow, we've got something special brewing.
Yeah, not supposed to be a Cinderella 17-18 season.
Yeah, great. Well, I think we have really dug in deep on this one, Steve, and so much great stuff. A really, as we've said, just exciting season and also one filled with overcoming injuries and adversity. Just a literally horrific bone-chilling injury to start the season to an incredible, incredible playoff run and nearly a spot in the finals.
Yeah, this was a really fun season to look back at and a really inspiring season to remember for sure.
Truly. So thanks again for joining us as two sports fans who are definitely not experts.
We are definitely not experts. We are Celtic Strong, and a big thank you to CelticStrong.com, the number one Celtics fan forum on the internet.
Get on there. Get on the chats. Chop it up, of course, respectfully. And join Boston Celtics fans in celebrating this special, special historic franchise. This has been episode 4, the 2017-2018 season of the Boston Celtics.